Ephesians in chapter number 6. And tonight we're just going to talk about the spiritual protection that authority provides. And we understand that each and every one of us are under authority. There's not a person on the face of this earth that does not fall somewhere in a chain of our authority or of a line of authority. And we should all be in a place to where our desire is to submit to the authorities that are over us. And some people just automatically, they don't like the idea of somebody just saying there's authority over them, and because they're the man of their home, or they're the boss, or they're 15 and they've got life figured out, and nobody's going to be an authority unto them. Romans in chapter 13 verses 1 and 2 says this, says, let every soul, so that's pretty all-encompassing, right? Every soul, that's what God came to redeem, was the soul of man, that you might have an eternity. And he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher, and he uses a plural word here called powers. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So that God wants that part of you that is eternal to be subject unto the powers that are in authority over you, and he reminds us there is no power but of God. The powers, plural, that be are ordained though of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. And so we need to keep that and bear that in mind when we talk about this idea of authority. Authority is God's idea. We have to remind ourselves of that. We have to be mindful of that, that this isn't some man-made thing that's trying to oppress us and trying to keep anyone down, but that God ordained authority and has ordained authorities in our lives. Look with me in Ephesians in chapter number 6, and we're going to read from verse number 10 down to verse number 16. And it says this, finally, my brethren. I know we just looked at this a couple months ago when we were talking about the ideas of walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm sorry. So here we see a command, if you will, of God that and from God's word, that we're to put on the whole armor that He has provided for us in this spiritual warfare that we are engaged in the lives that we lead. And each and every one of us are engaged in spiritual warfare, whether we recognize it or not. And the armor is designed by God to provide spiritual protection in our lives. And it's there to help us to be able to withstand in the evil day. It helps us to be able to quench the fiery darts that are thrown up at us, and to be able to protect us from the trickery and of the methods. That's what a wile is. It is simply trickery. It's to protect us from the tricky methods of the devil. And the devil, we can look over in 1 Peter in chapter number 5. We know this. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for the one that is weak spiritually, that he might be able to consume them and have his way in their life. And there's a the reason that God has given us authorities in our lives is to help us, is to guide us around the tricky methods that are in this life, that are in this world. God has given authorities in our life. One of those reasons is to guide us through this life. And we are not to be our own authorities, but often authorities are the ones that are able to look ahead and to see ahead and to be able to call things out that might be in the way of our life, some trickery, some methods of this world that we need to be mindful of. Teenagers, listen up. Mom and dad probably have lived more life than you have because they are old. Amen. They've lived longer lives than you. They've seen things that you're walking through right now, and they're not just being boring, and they're not just behind the times. It might be that they personally have experienced the problems that you're going through, or that they watched of their own family and friends as they were growing up, of the devastation that things brought into their lives when they ignored the advice of the authorities in their life. And so authorities have been given in our lives to help us to avoid the pitfalls that might come in life that we are heading into. God's given you authorities, and we're not just talking about the parental authority or the home. There's four different areas of authority we're going to look at this evening, but all authority has been given of God and has been ordained of God, and it's to help. It has been placed there by God to be a help. That's God's perfect will, is that it would be a help. You see, God tells us to put on spiritual armor, and he details how we are to be protected. And as he begins to detail all of the protections that he desires for us to put on spiritually, before he details for us all the protection that he desires to put on spiritually, he spends the first 9 verses of this chapter talking about what subject do you think? Children, obey your parents. He starts this spiritual warfare discussion off with a dissertation on obedience to authority. Obedience to authority. And he desires that we be prepared for the spiritual battles that they're there. And you say, well, how am I going to prepare? What's the best way to prepare? By being in subjection to authority. Look at the verse number 1 of chapter number 6. Children, obey your parents, and underline this, in the Lord. In the Lord. Say, why is that important? Because now some people are going to be mad, but the reality is parents aren't always right. I too have been wrong before. My parents got some things wrong before. But you understand with me that my submission was not to the perfection of mom and dad. That's not what my obedience was unto, because mom and dad are perfect. Therefore, you must obey them in all things. No. You are to be obedient unto them as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Why? Because it was the Lord that ordained them as the authority in your life. So he didn't say, listen, because I've given you perfect parents and because I'm a perfect God. No. He says, I'm a perfect God, and you have imperfect parents, and I still want you to submit to them. And we need to look at this as unto the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It doesn't say anything about the perfection of your parents, but it does say that it's going to be a blessing upon you if you'll honor them. If you'll obey them, there's blessing that goes along with it. It says in verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children under wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we'd understand this, that we kind of have an opposite. We are not to provoke them we are to bring them up in the word of God. We are not to cause them to be provoked in the wrath over the things of this world. It'd be an opposite that is given. And so there's an obligation on the part of the authority. That doesn't, mom and dad, just because they are authorities, doesn't mean that they can just do it any old way they want to. No, they're themselves under authority. Come on, we've been talking about these things over the last few weeks. They are themselves under authority, and they have some responsibilities too. All right? But even if they do wrong, guess what? Two wrongs don't make a right. And I need to submit myself unto the authorities in my life. And so look at this, verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good... with goodwill, doing service as to who? The Lord. To the Lord. And not to men. You say, well, that's I'm supposed to serve them like I was serving Christ. That's pretty much what the Bible said when I read it and when we just read it together. It says this, but look at this. There's also a promise here. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be good, whether it be done, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So here we have instructions to children, that they're to be obedient to parents, to servants, that they are to be obedient to masters, and to masters, that they are to be obedient unto the Lord. There's not one person in this that isn't to be obedient unto someone else, with God being the ultimate authority. And it is interesting that this is preface to the understanding. This is the preface to the understanding of the spiritual protection that God desires for us to put on. This authority comes with a chain of command that God establishes, and we step outside the chain of command, we remove ourselves from the protection that God wants us to be underneath. We remove ourselves from that. God places an umbrella of protection over us with authority that we sometimes don't even understand. And we don't know why mom and dad are so particular about the way they want it done. And we don't know why our boss is always telling us to do it one way when we know in ourselves that it could be done far better. And I don't know why my husband thinks so oddly when he just gives us in mess after mess after mess. But understand, the protection has been granted. If you are under authority, it's a safe place to be. The blessing of being under this protection, number one, removes responsibility from you. When you are under authority, when you're under the authority of another, it removes responsibility from you. The only thing you're responsible for is how you respond to what you've been told to do. Are you going to be obedient or are you going to be disobedient? That's that's what God is looking for. And so you're responsible for that. But you say, but it could be done a better way and this isn't the best way to do it. That's fine. You're not responsible to think outthink the authority. And that happens a lot in our lives, that we think we know a better way, and that's not what God made us responsible. What a responsibility is obedience. That's a responsibility. So it removes us from the responsibility. We don't have to worry about the issues nor the consequences because of the responsibility that would fall onto the authority that is over us. All we are responsible for is obedience. And so secondly, we understand the blessing of being under authority. It is that it removes the judgment from us when we are obedient. If I obey those in authority over me and something goes wrong, guess what? It's not my responsibility. They're the ones that are going to bear the ultimate judgment for the issues that arise. They're the ones that are going to bear that. And so if I've submitted, I've done, the boss said, I want these boxes moved from this side of the room to that side of the room. And then we put them in where the boss said, and it ends up being the wrong spot. Listen, that's the responsibility of the authority that gave the instruction, and the same would go in all authority. In a marriage, many times a wife will say something like, "My husband is wrong." I mean, in their mind and their heart, they might even vocalize it. "Honey, you're wrong. You're not thinking correctly," and probably she is right. Probably she's right. I dare say this, that man, if we're not listening to our wives that are a representation of the Holy Spirit in the home, and we are not giving them giving proper heed to the things that they're telling us, I'm telling you, you're probably going to make a lot of wrong decisions. You're probably going to make a whole lot of wrong decisions. I think I mentioned this the other day, but we were doing some things getting ready for junior camp, and Miss Heather Wilder was saying, I think because the heat. We need to change the schedule. And TJ, Brother Wilder and I, Brother TJ and I, we're both like, no, let's just keep the schedule. We'll just push on through. And the kids can suck it up and quit themselves like men, you know. And I talked to my wife about it. And she's like, well, yeah, they're junior campers, honey. And I think maybe. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. And then a few minutes later, I just started thinking about times in my mind where my wife said, you know, for the kids' sake, maybe we ought to do it this way. And I've just, you know, pushed ahead knowing the best thing to do for the kids, you know, because I'm very sympathetic to all their needs. And then later on, just literally, come on, I felt like a jerk later on when the kids struggled. I did. And I felt, and if I had heeded the advice of one that cares for their well-being far more than I do, listen, I would have helped them. And so understand with me, I very, very often I think that it is very unwise for a man to ignore the counsel of his wife. You'd be helping yourself to listen to it. But if God's put the husband in authority of the home, and he has, and he's placed men over women, and he has, as a place of authority, not as a place, don't get this wrong, of superiority, and we've talked about that already, but just as a place of authority, and you decide, well, I'm not going to do what he says because I don't think it's a good idea. Guess what? Now both of you are wrong. He was wrong. His idea was wrong, and now your ideas are also wrong. Why should both of you be wrong? The reality is that if he's wrong, then God's going to take care of him, and God can teach him, and God can straighten him out. But now God has a you put yourself in a position where God can't bless either of you because neither of you are obedient. Neither of you are obedient. If he is wrong and he decides to do it his way and wants it his way, listen, say it's going to affect our home. No. Your obedience will also affect your home. It will. Your obedience in times where you know, I don't know about this, is not just going to affect the blessings of your own life. It is also going to be seen in the lives of your children. It is. And my obedience to God as a father is going to be seen in the lives of my kids. There's going to be seen my wife's obedience to me is going to be seen by our children. It's all going to be observed, and we need to be mindful of that. Many times we disobey the simplest of commands because we know better than the authority that is over us. I'm not talking about doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the will of God, things that we know that would be unbiblical on their face. And that's not what we're arguing about. We're simply talking about, listen, I think this is the way we need to do it. I'm going to give instruction. I would say, listen, vocalize your disagreement. But listen, the ultimate goal is that you would say, all right, we'll do it your way. And there be an act of submission. And that was the command God gave unto wives, is that wives were to submit themselves unto their own husbands. You don't have to submit yourself to every dumb idea that men come up with. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there is a command to submit yourselves unto your own husband. And listen, sir, there is also before that command given one that you are to love. And when you can look at your wife and you can tell, man, she's not very easy about this. Maybe you need to make some time and make a very serious issue about how much prayer you've really put into the decision you're making. Amen. No. And I'll tell you, wives, if you would learn how to submit to your husband and the ideas, he's going to have to bear the consequences of them all on his own. It's going to be a very much more weightier matter when he is making decisions. And there's nothing wrong, sir, with your wife looking you in the eye and saying, have you prayed about this? Have you talked to the Lord about this? And if he has, then listen, ma'am, trust that God's in control. And trust that God's going to take care of you in spite of whether or not you see this being a right idea or not. Follow the authority that God has given you. God knows what the husband is doing, what the husband is going to mess up. But listen, if you go ahead and not submit yourself and you mess up as well, then you're creating a situation where you're saying, well, man, what could God bless in that home? We have a husband that isn't submitted to God and he's making wrong decisions. And we have a wife that isn't submitted to her husband and she's making wrong decisions. And it's all under the authority of God. Where in the world is the blessing to come from? if it is not from a wife that is willing to submit. And we also can look at 1 Peter and chapter number 3, and we'd understand it is by the chaste conversation of a wife's submission to her husband that God is able to be able to correct him and to bring him to a place that he is supposed to be. Often the reasoning is, but if I follow it, if I follow him, it'll destroy our finances, and it'll hurt our family, and it'll be impossible to recover from the damage that that is going to be done. But listen, we've already talked about this. That goes back to the idea of authority and faith. Authority and faith. And it is a responsibility of a man to lead and to talk to God and get leadership of the Lord to lead his home. But listen to me, you need to have faith in God. God knew how crazy your husband's ideas were when he said to you, submit unto him. He did. He knew that. He knew that that your husband was going to struggle at times. And the Lord wants you to submit. And the question is, do you believe, again, do you believe the Word of God is true? Right? And if you say, I believe the Word of God, I believe 1 Peter in chapter number 3, that if I'll be the godly example in our home that I am supposed to be, and I submit as I'm supposed to, that God is going to use that to turn the heart of my husband and to correct the heart of my husband to be the man that God wants him to be. And that's what 1 Peter 3 teaches. Listen, if we believe the Word of God by faith, then we ought to be practicing it in our lives. Do we trust God? And the reality is, you'll never win your husband if you refuse to follow his leadership. If you refuse to follow his leadership on so many on little things like, well, I don't want to do that, or I don't think it's the right time for that, or I don't think it's that we have the finances for that right now, and you say, well, ultimately I proved that I'm right. And then you go and nag them about how right you are, and you were, and listen, it created nothing but contention and strife and anger in the home, where God desired for you to submit so that he could teach your husband a thing or two that you'll never be able to teach your husband. Say, well, if he just wasn't so prideful, I could teach him. Well, I'm sorry, but he is that prideful. And God's his direct authority. And God can tune him up pretty good if you would allow him to tune him up instead of insisting that you're the one that's going to teach him and correct him and lead him into all the right ways. God's got a great way of doing. He's got a foolproof system if we would follow it. If we'd follow it. And so the husband, listen, we need to understand, I'm not saying that you have license to just lead like a foolish drunken sailor. No. It's not like, well, I'm just going to do all the things. Pastor said I could just do all the silly ideas I've ever had. No. I'm saying that you need to be honest with yourself and honest with your authority, God. And you're accountable to him for what you do and the decisions that you make. That doesn't mean, that you're going to make every perfect decision. But listen, it ought to be that your heart's desire is that ultimately you are glorifying God in your home with the decisions that are being made. One of the issues of spiritual protection, one example of the issues of spiritual protection we find in 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says this in 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says this, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's direct context is given unto the local church, but the idea that the verse gives is all-encompassing of life, that all things are to be done decently in order in the house of God, among the people of God, and in our individual lives. It's important that we would do things in the order that God would design, both for men and women. So I don't get to go out just randomly making decisions. I'm to seek after God. I'm to allow God to show me and teach me, and then I am to lead. And then God's given my wife and my children a place of submission and obedience in that. All authority that has been entrusted has its source in God, and he is responsible to God as they use it. Did you hear that? all authority stems from and comes from God, and then thus it is His authority that we are under. We are responsible to the one unto whom holds all authority. If you will, just as you work a job and you have a manager, you're responsible or answerable unto the one that's over you when he comes and inspects and say, why wasn't this done the way I wanted it done? He's holding you accountable, and you're going to give an account one day. You will. You will give an account before the Lord one day of your life. And we understand this, that we can obey authorities on this earth that God has placed over us up to the point that they would violate the direct command of God. God doesn't, listen, God does not expect, and in fact, quite the contrary, God expects you not to violate His word. All right, He expects you to obey God rather than man, and so we don't ever violate the word of God. We don't ever violate the truth of His word. But up until that point, listen, up until that point, we are to be obedient. We are to be obedient. I don't just get to look out and go, well, this authority, man, they did something I don't like, so therefore I don't have to obey any laws. No laws. I'm going to drive as fast as I want, and I'll throw my litter out the windows as I do it. And listen, I get to live lawlessly because this authority I don't agree with, and they've done something that violates the word of God. No. Until they've asked you personally to do something that would violate your conscience before God according to His word. Listen, I'm telling you, God expects obedience at every level of authority that He has ordained. God gives us direct command that determines what we do, that we are to be obedient. It is not about my likes and dislikes. I voted for Him, or I didn't vote for Him, or whatever. Listen, authority is to be obeyed because God has ordained it. There are four primary institutions which God has entrusted with authority in His Word. There's four primary institutions. The family has been appointed for personal affairs. The church has been appointed for spiritual affairs. The government has been appointed for civil affairs. And a job or work for financial affairs. They've been appointed. And so these are areas of authority. In each of these institutions, God assigns a level of authority appropriate to the affairs that they are to oversee. I don't just come to work and do everything the way I want it done. No, I have to submit myself to the authority of that work. I don't just get to go out in government and do everything the way I want done. And we understand that we can look at it in a church level. If everybody just shows up and just did it the way they wanted to do it, come on, that's chaos, and it edifies only the individual. It doesn't edify the body, which is God's design and God's goal and what God wants to see take place. And come on, think about it in your home. If I just got up, I was like, listen, I'm going to do things the way I want. Well, guess what? Just because I'm the head of the home, there are some things that I can do that, I mean, if it was just up to me, I would live a certain way that drives my wife bonkers. I mean, it just does. It drives her insane to have clothes left on the floor when there's a hamper right across the room. And my answer is, well, I'll get it over there eventually. And come on. Come on. I don't just get to live any old way I want. Why? Because I'm also under authority. And I'm to, listen, in that same chapter that talks about ladies, you know, how women are to submit themselves in order to win their husbands, it also instructs men in 1 Peter in chapter number 3 that we're to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. To dwell with them according to knowledge. I understand tonight when I take this shirt that I don't just throw it on the floor. No, I unroll the sleeves just like this. And then I place it in the hamper. Right? Well, what do you call that? That's dwelling with my wife according to knowledge. Because I know if I don't unroll the sleeves, that the lady that I love is going to, she is going to do my laundry. But it is going to displease her that I didn't respect her enough to simply do this. Say, you never do that ever again since you knew that? No, she reminds me from time to time. But I'm getting better. And I'm working at it. I'm trying. I am trying. There's effort. There, from when we were first married to now, there's definite improvement. Amen. In each of these instructions, listen, in each of these places, God assigns a level of authority appropriate to the affairs that they are to oversee. The authority for one should not infringe upon another. It should not infringe upon another. Say, well, what do you mean by that? That means that I don't have, as the pastor of a church, I don't get to go down to City Hall and tell them what to do. They don't care whether I'm a pastor of a church there, and God hasn't given me authority down at City Hall, but He has here. As the head of my home, I can dictate that. And I, when I was growing up, we played sports and were involved in sports. And Dad was just real clear. Listen, you can play sports, but in this home, we're going to be in church on Wednesday night, and we're not going to miss Sundays. And so we got to do a whole lot of things, but we were going to be in church on Sunday. And I had we went to football camps, and they were over the weekend. Well, guess what? We had to arrange. We were going to make sure we arranged that we were going to go to church on Sunday while everybody else was out running. It was a real sacrifice. Amen. And no, but we're going to go to church. And on Wednesday night, I'm telling you, all through high school, I showed up late to church one time. And my dad was down at the school that next morning and had a talk with the football coach and said, listen, we're more than happy for them to engage in football and be a part of the team. But understand, in our home, this is a priority. And so you're not going to, as a football coach, supersede the authority of his father and of his God. He's going to be in church on Wednesday. So there are numerous times where the football coach said, Carter, hit the showers. And everybody else got to keep running. It was rough. It was really hard, and it was difficult. But listen, one authority does not infringe upon the other. It doesn't. If I put myself in the place, listen, of work though, and I put myself in the place of a servant, up until the point where that boss is saying, listen, we're going to do this activity, and you go, well, that violates the word of God. I can't do that. We're going to cheat these people out of their money, or we're going to lie to them about this product. And we just have to stop and go, listen, that violates my conscience before God, because I know what His word says, and I'm accountable to Him for what I know. Listen, I might have to leave. I might have to quit that job. Say, it's hard to find a job. Not today. It's not. But listen to me. You're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to obey this master that's telling me to do something that's contrary to a higher authority? And you got to make that decision. And you ought to make the right decision. God can provide for you a better job. He can. He can take care of you. In the home, God entrusts the authority to the husband and the parents. We just read it in Ephesians in chapter 5, and in Ephesians chapter 6, how children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And if you go back to chapter number 5, wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands as unto the Lord. And each of this has an emphasis upon the Lord as the object of the obedience through the appointed leader. Mom and dad, children are the appointed leader, and God will bless and promises blessing upon children that will obey. As well in the home, the husband is the appointed leader, and there's going to be a home that's blessed and by God if they are to submit themselves unto the authority of the leader. And Jesus' commandment on the principle as he was talking to his disciples about leadership, Jesus gave these instructions to leaders that we wouldn't get a place of superiority, but God desires for there to be service. Look what he says in Mark in chapter 10, verses 42-45. It says, "But Jesus called unto them, and he saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be a servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Understand, while there is God-appointed authority, while there is a position of leadership that has been given to a husband and to parents and all of those things, it is not a matter of superiority. It is not a matter of one being greater than the other, but it should be looked at the one who is in the place of leadership, that they are not in a place to boss everybody around, but to serve those who are under them. That's God's design. It's not about me being the man in my home. It's about me being the servant of my home, about me seeing the needs that are there and ministering unto them, about me seeing the things that need done, and about me being the overseer of making sure they get accomplished. And that can sometimes entail the dishes, sir, and the vacuuming. I know these are bad words, I know. But it can mean those things. It can mean those things. It also can mean that I see the needs of my children, that there's some disciplinary actions that need taken place, and there's some things that they need to be talked to and understood. That's not the responsibility of my wife. It's been delegated unto me. She can discipline, but understand with me, that's an authority. There's an authority in the home, and it's given to the man, and many times it's neglected by the man, because the man's expecting for everybody to be doing for him instead of him being the servant. I can already tell you, my kids are like, well, Dad, you make us go out and you make us do this chore and that chore. And I know I do, because I want them to learn how to work. Amen. So I'm serving them in that way. Amen. No, really, honestly. Honestly. They need to be taught how to work. They need to sweat and they need to do all the chore. No, I'm just kidding. No. They need to be trained up in that way. They need to be trained up that way. You talk to employers and people that are looking for employees, and it's frustrating to get people that they can't think for themselves, they can't do for themselves, they couldn't accomplish a task unless it's outlined for them. That is frustrating. But I'll tell you, it's a pleasure when you get to say, hey, listen, we need this stuff over here, moved over there, and it gets done. Well, where is that supposed to be trained? In the home. You're not serving your children if they're not learning how to work. You're not. Say, well, these days kids just want to play video games. If you let them. If you don't have video games in your house, it's hard to play them. Just is. I'm not against video games. Don't anybody, pastors against? No, I'm not. I'm just saying. I mean, it's just really hard for them to get lost hours on end on video games if they're not in the home. It's really hard. It's very hard. So you need to be mindful of those things. God desires that leaders are to be servants. God desires that we are to be the chief of the if we're going to be chief, it's because of the service. And those who are servants in leadership are followed. When someone says, listen, we're going this direction, follow me, right? They're followed. When somebody wants to stand in point and say this, 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 and this, get it done, I'm going to go get iced tea. Listen, they're not a great leader. They're not a great leader. Leaders is supposed to give direction and order through love and servanthood. Jesus Christ, our great leader, right? Our great leader completely submitted himself unto God, unto his authority, completely submitted himself unto the authorities. But he also submitted himself unto the other unto other authorities in his life. As a leader, he was a great servant. We have no question about that. But understand, in the 13th chapter of Romans, it details authority that God has given unto governments that bear rule over you and over me, that are ordained of God even, that God lifted up into leadership and into power. And do you realize this, that the servant leader, Jesus Christ, who was under the authority of Almighty God, placed himself so far under the authority of God that he allowed other authorities that were, we can say this, that were far even less than him, that were less than who he was. And he was so submitted to the will of his heavenly Father that he submitted himself unto death. The Bible teaches clear direction to power between governments, to the powers between government, home, the church, the family. And listen to me. And as long as I'm not in violation of Scripture, I'm to be obedient unto them. God, I thank the Lord for America. Proud to be an American. As long as I'm here, we're not taking down the American flag here or outside. I'm just telling you, I'm not ashamed of it at one bit. But understand, the rights guaranteed me as an American were not guaranteed me by God. They weren't. And I submit myself unto God. Even when government is doing wrong, I can still be right with God. It's same principle as a wife that would submit under her husband when her husband is wrong. Listen to me, as I as a citizen will submit to God, I can be submitted to God. That doesn't mean I'm doing things violation of Scripture, but it also means I can submit myself as Christ did, even unto death, Christ submitted himself. The Bible speaks of authority in the church, of the pastor. It gives the oversight. The pastors take the oversight thereof. Hebrews 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you. I want us to understand this. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, God gives clear instruction regarding the obedience of children to their parents, as well as to servants and to their masters, their bosses and masters unto God. He gives clear instruction of that, and before he ever begins to detail the spiritual armor in which we are to live our lives. It's going to take a spiritual individual in order to submit themselves unto authority. You know, submission to authority does not just happen because I'm just a weak-willed individual. No, I'm telling you, it's going to take a very strong person to say, listen, I'm going to submit myself unto God, and if that means that I have to submit myself to XYZ, I'm going to submit myself unto God. I'm going to be obedient unto God. If a person will not submit themselves unto earthly authority, they make themselves vulnerable to spiritual attack. This understanding must be gathered by us in order that we might be able to put up spiritual defenses that we face in this life. Because while there might be a physical authority with which we have a problem with, we understand this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And God is going to, listen, there is a spiritual war that is taking place, and only by my submission unto God can I see that battle won. All things have a proper order in the economy of God, and you cannot call yourself spiritual. Don't feign yourself to be spiritual if you're in rebellion to an authority in this life. Say, well, you don't know what they're... No. I might not know all the crazy things they're asking you to do, but I can ask a simple question. Is it in violation of the Word of God? Are they violating the Word? Are they asking you to infringe upon your conscience before God in the Word of God? Then listen, I'm just telling you, Christ is very clear. The spiritual people are going to submit themselves to the powers that He has ordained. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. As opposed to the blessing that he talks about in the of those who are obedient in those first 9 verses. Let the person who thinks himself to be spiritual give admission to the truth of the Scriptures. When in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37 it says this, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord. Listen, we can't violate Scripture in the area of authority and pretend like we're spiritual at the same time. We can't. We have to be submitted to authority. And when we do, listen, we are under the umbrella of protection of Almighty God. We are. Listen, you say, I just don't like it. Listen, Christ submitted himself unto the government that was over him to the point of death. And God exalted him and gave him a name above all names. Right? He did. And also by his authority, by his submission to that authority, are you blessed? You're blessed by it if you're saved tonight. Because he was willing to submit himself to the powers that God had ordained in his life. Now, the question you have to ask is, do I want the blessing of God? Or do I want to just be puffed up in my own pride? It's really simple. No. Am I going to balk authority? Am I going to have my way? Listen, or am I going to be a recipient of the blessings that God desires to put upon those who are obedient and submissive in this life? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.